Hallelujah.
You know, this place is shining. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Daddy and Mommy, for the privilege to be a partaker of this conference. And I trust God for grace to translate what you said the Lord has told you. Let us pray. Lord, we give you great praise. Great thanks we offer unto you for what you are doing and for what you have in mind to dispense to us during the course of this conference. We ask that you stretch forth your hand over every life that is present in this auditorium and over every life that is participating through social media. Let your glory rest with intensity to actualize your intention for this season, as we trust you for an outpouring, as we trust you for enablement, and as we trust you for fresh grace. Be merciful to us, O God, and bless us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please make somebody welcome as you take your seat. It's a glorious moment in the house of God. Hallelujah. All right, since this is the first night of the conference, I will want to begin by defining some terminologies. Definition of terminologies. There are four terminologies I intend to define, but there is no guarantee that I will finish. So, as much as the time will allow, we want to do some definition of terminologies. The first terminology we want to define is a spiritual ceremony, because that's how I see this conference. I see it as a spiritual ceremony, and we want to define what that means from the Bible. We trust God to be able to do a practical session that adequately illustrates the definitions that we are trying to establish. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Turn your Bible with me. Can we take verse 16? Malachi chapter 3. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. There shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Please stay with me. You know, the Bible says, are you there? It said, they that feared the Lord, they speak one unto another. It was like a home cell meeting. It was not a formal meeting like the kind of event that we are participating in now. It was something quite informal. It was like a home cell meeting. And the Bible says, they that fear the Lord speak often one unto another. And the Lord hearkened. The people were not praying. The people were not prophesying. The people were not making faith declarations. The Bible says that they were just speaking. It was just like as if I visit my friend, Apostle Eliadejo. And whenever I visit him, there is no sufficient time for us to discuss the things we have to discuss. So maybe on one of those visitations, we began to speak to each other. And then something now happened. The things that we were saying now began to in the realm of the spirit. Now, a spiritual ceremony is an activity that makes things go on record in the realm of the spirit. And while I prayed, my perception of tonight's meeting is that it is a spiritual ceremony. Several things are going to go on record in the realm of the spirit. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So imagine two brothers just talking, and then the Holy Spirit hijacks their communication, and then they find themselves bringing witness to the mind of God at a level that is beyond mere discussion. It enters and begins to transmit at another frequency altogether. And the Bible says that those things that were spoken, a book of remembrance was opened. And a supernatural scribe was given instructions to put those things on record. Some things will go on record tonight. In the name of Jesus. You see, you don't need to believe what I'm saying. What I'm saying is not, I'm not speaking words of faith. I'm actually casting news. And when you listen to 9 o'clock news, you don't say amen. Hallelujah. They feared the Lord and they spoke unto each other, and instantly the things that were given utterance to speak went on record in the realm of the spirit, and God began to reply the things that went on record. This was what God said. He said, there shall be mine. I wonder at what point the issue of ownership now began to surface, because these guys were just doing normal talk, normal home self fellowship, normal communication, but it got to a point where it attracted the presence of God, and God's response to their talk was on the issue of ownership. God's response to their talk was on an issue that was consistent with his intention to make jewels. He said, there shall be mine, saith God, in the day that I make my jewels. Now, we were not told what these individuals were discussing. We were rather told the things that God began to say on the account of their discussion. Now, what I came to tell you is, as we are discussing now, some things are going on record in the realm of the spirit, and shortly God is going to begin to respond to us on the basis of the things we are discussing. And in the midst of our discussion, God is going to be selecting men and women in our midst that he wants to upgrade to carry out a function that is strategic to this season that he has initiated. That is what I see that God wants to initiate during the course of this conference. So we are in a spiritual ceremony right now. Now let us read verse 17 before I begin the journey first in the Bible, before we begin to trace the same journey in the spirit. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. Are you still with me? Now, you see, the reason why I paused is so that the word jewels can enter into your heart. You see, these, what we call jewels or precious stone, are the result of intense temperature and pressure. Intense temperature and pressure. When you subject a metal, for those of you that are scientists, to intense temperature and pressure, it yields a precious stone. A chemical reaction takes place, and this chemical reaction that takes place under intense pressure. And the result of the chemical reaction is that it produces precious stones. This is an inorganic environment that produces this product that is so lovely. When you come for spiritual ceremonies like this, God decides to exercise his right of ownership over your life in that he chooses you. That's where we're supposed to say amen. Amen. And the fact that God has chosen you means that he wants to recommend you to come under intense temperature and pressure. It's just like Jesus. Jesus went for baptism in John's, in the river of Jordan, and when he came out of the water, the Bible reveals that heaven came to accredit him. Heaven came to testify about him. Are you there? The testimony that came from his father was that this one is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That, you know, there are a few alphabets that are used to grade students in school. A very popular one is F. I know you know that one. And the last time I checked, it's from 0 to 39 that earns you an F. Then we have the E. Then we have the D. So, but if the father is saying that this one is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, it is suggestive of something like an A. And if you score a first class or a distinction in Ahmadu Bello University, you are likely to be given employment as a lecturer assistant. So you'll be expecting that Jesus should get employment after that heavy assessment that the father made of him. And instead of employment, the Holy Spirit that descended upon him in the same breath now compelled him to go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, the reason why he was moved into the wilderness, not to fast, he wasn't going there primarily to fast. What he was going there to do was to be tempted. You are not following me. The reason for which heaven recommended him for additional temptation was because in the accreditation he scored an A. Are you there? Somehow Jesus arrived at the testing ground before the tempter. And when he arrived there, what he did was that he decided by an act of his own will to take up a fast. It was a personal decision. It was not part of the agenda of the wilderness. You know, in order for an engine to be called Mercedes-Benz, they will put it on a bench and run it for 1,000 hours. If the engine cannot run on a bench for 1,000 hours, it cannot carry the logo Mercedes-Benz. Meanwhile, all of that stress they have placed on the engine in the factory is still an in-house test. It's still a company test. It's a company quality assurance protocol. The kind of arrangement of Jesus' temptation that is in the book of Matthew chapter 4 is not a company-based test. It's not an in-house test. It was an outsourced test. And it will surprise you that what was going to be used to test Jesus was not endurance, was not his tensile strain. What was going to be used to test Jesus is his spirit with a different philosophy. And all of these challenges were brought on Jesus just because he was chosen as God's distinction student. So the Bible says, the reason why God brings the issue of ownership in this matter is because it is that issue of ownership that authorizes God to post you to the place where you can experience intense temperature and pressure. That is what will now make you become a jailer. So the Holy Ghost will be going around during the sessions looking for people that he can say, this one is my beloved son. And just in case you hear those kind of words during this conference, don't be excited quickly, because you are not aware of the stage that God will set for your own testing. It is after the testing that jewels now emerge, and there is no machination of the kingdom of darkness that can resist jewels. They've been burnt off on every side. There is no place to burn again. So they are hardened for the kingdom of God, and it is certain that their lives will produce results. If you are still with me, say amen. The Bible did not only say that he will make us in this spiritual ceremony, he also said he will spare us. As much as he wants you to result as his jewel, he also says that there are dimensions of intensity and pressure that you cannot even bear. As bright as you are, he said, those ones I will spare you from them. As a man spareth his own son that serves him. And then he gives us a guarantee. Are you with me? So he said, I will make you. I was expecting an amen. Amen. I will spare you. You know, when God wants to make a man, you will think God is not around your life. He will leave you in poverty for 12 years so that your ambition will burn out, so that the wrong reason for which you want to be on the pulpit will die a natural death. It will fade. Its shelf life will expire. Are you with me? Then after 12 years, it will become an ever-present revelation that a man's life does not consist. Hallelujah. When those wisdoms are imprinted on your heart like an embroidery, God now sees you and calls you his precious jewel. This one is costly to make. It is hard. It is difficult to make this type. Then after he has made you, You think that you have capacity to survive every situation, you are still wrong. He said, I will now spare you because you are costly, because it is difficult to come by you. I will arrange for you to be spared from the kind of things that will destroy you. God will give us an additional covering before we leave this conference so that we can be spared in the name of Jesus Christ. So he makes us, and when he makes us, there is no emotion involved because there is a product he has in mind, and you and I must become that product. Then he will spare us. There are unnecessary tribulations that will not add to your stature, that Satan is willing to bring your way. For that, he will provide a shield so that you can be spared. And the reason for which God will be committed to sparing you is because you have a track record of service in his kingdom. Because the Bible says, I will spare you as a man spareth his own son, that what? That serveth him. That's number two. For he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. They sang the song of freedom, but they never knew that most of them would not return. So God is saying here that there is a guarantee that we will return. Now, our returning is not just a purposeless returning. The things that God has wired into you through the process will begin to speak upon your return. Because when you return, the Bible reveals that you will return with the power of discernment. And thou shalt return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. It's as if God, after he has made his precious jewels, he will now create a demarcation between the false and the original. As long as God has not yet made his precious jewels, he can allow falsehood to an extent. But the moment he has made, the moment he has spared, then he gives the, upon their return, they will discover that the process was not purposeless, because they will return with the capacity to discern. May your spiritual eyes, your receptacle, that station that is built in you by the power of the unction that we have received from the Holy One, may that station, that your receptacle, be activated on full-blown frequency during the course of our time on this mountain, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord has spoken to us, not in whispers, with clarity, that in this season, from the sides of the north of Nigeria, he will begin to kindle the sparks that are long awaited, and that the process that he has subjected us to, allowed us to go through, will in that day be reckoned to be a privilege, because our returning will be with discernment. And it is in that season of our return to take our places, our designations, that God will now be bitter against them that are false, that are not in active service, but are trying to usurp the honor that accrues to serving God. Amen. Amen. So, my dear, chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 1 says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Are you with me? Stay with me. So what we are about, people that made him react in such a way that he was, people that made him react in such a way that he was disqualified from entering into the prophetic destiny of that people. Of that people. No, we don't have time for that. But these are the proceedings of the blessing service. And he said, during the proceedings, he decided to come from memory lane. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir, Mount Seir, unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. Because of time, we don't have sufficient time to draw the triangle that Moses is trying to reveal to us. That there were encounters, there were visitations that came from these three points. And the encounters and the visitation that came from these three points are national encounters, not personal encounters. They are national visitations, not personal visitations. They are national impartations took place from the visitations of God captured in these three locations. So he made reference to those points where the mantles that were released to guarantee Israel's prophetic destiny was unleashed upon her. And he came with 10,000 of his saints, and from his right hand went forth a fiery law for them. Let us jump. Verse 33, verse 4. Let's jump verse 3. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. He was king in Jeshurun. This is an attempt to reveal the capacity from whence Moses was going to be giving out those blessings. If you are a Bible student, you will know that the nickname of Israel is Jeshurun. And the meaning of the scripture that I just read is that Moses was the first king of Israel. Are you still with me? You are not with me. Moses was the one that was able to access the kingly anointing that was designed to power Israel. Now, Moses, are you following me? Moses was able to access the kingly ordination of the house of Israel even when he did not have a physical political seat. He did not have the seat of a president. The office of the king was not yet shaped in the natural. However, he was able to touch the anointing of that was designed to power the house of Israel. Are you still with me? Now listen. Listen. If we read this scripture very well, you will discover that Moses did not walk in the kingly anointing of Israel every time. The only times that Moses could access the kingly anointing of Israel was whenever the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. So whenever the heads of the tribes, whenever the heads of the people were gathered and Moses sat in their midst, Moses was granted access into the kingly anointing that God had put in place to power the nation of Israel, to set up laws and to establish decrees. Oh my God. You see, I was struggling in the place of prayer. when the Lord gave me this scripture, until our Father in the Lord came to confirm what God told him that he would do in this conference. We are in a spiritual ceremony, and many of us will look back to this conference and say, this is where it all began. There was something about the priesthood of this nation that opened up, became accessible, and on the strength of that endowment, it was possible to gain mileage in the realm of the spirit. So Moses had no political throne of a king, but he functioned in the capacity of the king because he was able to access that anointing. So we see that Moses operated in the anointing when, you will see a when there, when. It means that the anointing was not on him every time, but every time the elders of the people were gathered together, he could operate from that point fluently. Even as we are all gathered together from different places, the quorum is complete. And I'm telling you what I saw, the description of how God revealed this conference to me. That the quorum is going to be complete. And when the quorum is complete, God is going to create the possibility of access into several pillars of ordination that he had put in place to drive his agenda in this nation. Some things will come true in the name of Jesus Christ. So this is the first time in the entire Bible that a man was able to access not an anointing for ministry to pastor a flock, but is accessing an anointing for a nation. The first time in the Bible. And this was the highest pedestal of authority that was unlocked at this time. And it was superior to any other anointing that God used to shape the house of Israel. And I will prove it. Next verse. Don't forget what is happening here. It is a blessing service that is going on here. Are you still with me? Yes, it's a blessing service. So now that Moses, by reason of the congregation that sat before him, had entered into the framework, into the fullness of the regalia of the national kingly anointing, the first tribe he addresses is the tribe of Reuben. Deuteronomy 33 verse 6. What does he say with that anointing to Reuben? He said, let what? Oh, I cannot hear you. I can't hear you. What does he say to Reuben? He said, let Reuben. Do you still remember that Reuben's life was following a pattern that was consistent with the utterance that his father had made? And his father was one of the patriarchs that whose life, witness, and testimony formed the foundation of that nation. But you see, it was by with the authority of a father that he complicated the destiny of Reuben. And now, for the first time, a king had risen in the territory, and the authority of the king happens to be superior to the authority of a father. He looked at a tribe that was bastardized because of the release of an authority. And he realized that what he was carrying was the authority for the nation. And he turned to Reuben and said, let Reuben live. Let him not die. He said, let his men not be few. Are you still with me? This man is not prophesying. This is not the gift of prophecy. This man is sitting in the capacity of authority, and is using that authority to shape the destinies of the tribes of Israel. Today, God wants to shape destiny. I will not have the boldness to say what I'm saying if I did not hear God. That is what he wants to do to us during the course of this conference. Destinies will be... I don't know what has haunted you. It haunted you for so many years. And even though you know you are pregnant with capacity, your capacity has been frustrated. God is saying, Reuben, leave in the name of Jesus. He said, let him not die. It means even though his father did not say to him, die, the spirit of death took advantage of the utterance of injury that was released into his life. The spirit of death found compatibility with it and began to haunt him. And when inventory was taken, eventually it was realized that his men were few. I don't know what spirits have found compatibility with the reproach that you have walked in. And they have come to translate that reproach into the ministry of the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Moses restrained the ministry of the thief. You would think that a thief only steals, but a spiritual thief, he kills too. A spiritual thief, he destroys. And sometimes destruction is a process. Like that which was at work, the program that was at work in the tribe of Reuben. When they took inventory, they saw that the men were few. And the meaning of that was that tribe was about to be blotted out. It took the decree of a king to stop it. Let Reuben live, let him not die, and let his men not be few. Oh my God. Many years ago, I came to see Papa to tell him of the fact that I sense a calling to Benue State. It gave me a full historical perspective about the texture of Benue. Then gave me wisdom. There were mighty men that were released into the territory. Mighty men that were released into the land. The moment the men come into the territory, there is a technology that Satan has switched on in that place that has the capacity of stripping mighty men of their wings and to make sons to walk on foot. Hallelujah. There was a system there. So he told me, he said, don't go there making noise. Go and take root. And that instruction, go and take root, became our slogan. And the remnant that shall escape out of Judah shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. I thought that this taking root, are you with me? I thought that it was like, because the last minister of the gospel that shook that city, it took him 7 years of intense labor to come to the point in authority where he could speak and it would be established. So I did the arithmetic calculation and I said, yes, as at the time Papa prayed for me, I was 27 years. So I knew I had 7 years. 7 years to invest. So we made captions on the wall, and the remnant that I escaped out of Judah shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. We put it so that when you come, you know we are taking root. And I had my eyes on 7 years, because the last time someone was given authority,
It took 7 years of labor. You know what? I was wrong. The same way Abraham too was wrong. After 7 years, it was Satan that visited, not... It was not a revival that came. It was Satan. It was Satan that visited. You could see that there was something. There was something in the land that refused to be restrained. I thought that with 7 years of impute, if there was any time in my life, I was discouraged to a point where I knew I was discouraged. You know, sometimes, hallelujah, was after the 7 years and my calculations did not work. So I had to run back. Because I've exhausted my program. Everything I put in place was a 7-year program leading to revival. It was in that 7th year that rebellion broke out in our ministry. It broke out in a most bitter form. So I ran back to receive more instructions. Hallelujah. Because sincerely, if it is taking root, we were in the business of taking root. But I was wondering why the fruit. After this rebellion broke out, the next thing that happened was that I was posted from my office to Lagos. The rebellion broke out when I was present. Now, it was not time for me to resign from work, and God has allowed me to be displaced. So it was from Lagos, I took a flight to Kaduna and came to Sipa. But you know what? Before I came, I wasn't given the opportunity to tell my story of how my 7 years did not. Because the Lord had given our Father in the Lord a word, and he spoke the way Abraham, the way Moses spoke here. Let Reuben live. That utterance arrested my discouragement. Then live. Let him not die. And let his men not be few. Sorry, my time is up. The time we have now is for practicals. After those declarations, we went back with a renewed vigor. Satan must have been celebrating at that time. But the kingly anointing had come to shape me beyond the reproach that was in the land. It was after 14 years. You know, my time frame was 7 years. But the actual time from the Lord was 14. So I went to put in another 7 years. It was towards the end of that 7 years, something broke so strong. It's so strong that we don't even understand it. We are not trying to describe it because we don't know it. Something broke. Something will break today. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because all the elders of the tribes are present. So we want to take advantage to access the ordinations that God has put in place to drive his purposes in this nation, to drive his purposes in the land. Can you rise on your feet? Let us take advantage of these 15 minutes. To drive something. The patterns will shift. The cycles will break. Because authority will come in to displace the things that Satan has planned. Lord, tonight we call upon your name. The heads of the tribes are gathered already. We ask, O God, that you make available to us such authority in the spirit that can displace things, that can end injuries in the spirit. We call upon you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Rend the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens and come down. Oh my God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. If I say in Jesus' name, give me a big amen. We'll do that maybe 3 times or 4 times. Because we need to say today, let Reuben live. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. I see something like a silver padlock. And from the way I see this thing, it is responsible for the locking of destinies. It is responsible for the locking of destinies. Tonight, I'm going to give a command on this padlock. And the member of the family that is implicated by that vision, there will be a reaction. Because God wants to displace some things so that we can collide with the stream of the Spirit that will carry us on into the fullness of our calling. Father, today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that that one whose family is represented by this lock, which is suggestive of the fact that there is a spiritual mystery that has been put in place to ensure that members of that family never attain to their fullness. Father Lord, anywhere that individual is, male or female, pastor or church worker that is present here, I ask, Lord, that you stretch forth your hand and locate that individual. No. Don't say amen. Ushers, when you see them, please don't say amen now. When you see the people, bring them here. We need to conduct deliverance on them. If you notice the people, because the hand of God will touch them. If you notice, bring them here. Father, in the name of Jesus, from my left hand side, to my right hand side, to the back of the hall, any of such individuals that are caught up in this padlock, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, let that yoke break. I say, don't say amen. Don't say amen. So that we can identify the people and conduct deliverance. Ushers, I want to give you an instruction. If you notice these people, can you please help me bring them for deliverance? Father, in the name of Jesus, those ones that are implicated by this vision, that are standing in this congregation, maybe their ministries have been truncated, maybe their lives have been hindered because of this protocol, this mystery that Satan has put in place. Tonight, I say, let the yoke, let the yoke, let the yoke break, let it break. Let it break in the name of Jesus Christ. It is your intention to shift us. We will never remain the same again. Oh my God. There is someone in the congregation. I see you. The spirit of death is upon you. The spirit of death is upon you. And in the next 17 seconds, the hand of God will come upon you to destroy death, to destroy death, to destroy death, to destroy death, to destroy death. Release your captives. Release them. Release them. Release them. Release them. That foul spirit of death that was placed upon your life. The number of the elders are complete, and we take advantage of the corporate anointing. I break that yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Somebody here is in contention with a warlock. I see your name on an altar. I see your name on an altar. Your name was taken to a distant place to bring injury to you. Anywhere that person is, Father, in this auditorium, the one whose name was taken, the one that demons are looking for, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you identify that person by the touch of the anointing, 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 the touch of the anointing. Holy Ghost! Please bring them. Your name was taken. I saw your name on the altar. I see a woman here. Your womb has been tied. Your womb has been tied. In the next 7 seconds, you will feel a heat in your womb. 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 Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm seeing a demon. A demon that has blocked someone's ear. I'm seeing a demon that has blocked somebody's ear. One of your ears. One of your ears is blocked. If you are the one, you cannot use one of your ears to take a call. You cannot take a call with the ear I'm talking about. If you are the one, please wave to me like this. One of your ear is blocked and you cannot use that ear to take a call. Yeah? Come. Come, you will hear now. We command that womb that was tampered with to be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Be restored. Now, no, you don't need to come further than that. Sister, listen to me. Is there any other person, one of your ears blocked? You can't use the ear to take a call. I have 6 minutes. 6 minutes. All right, so it's just you. Sister, listen to me. You take this finger, either this one, or this one, corresponding to the ear that is blocked, and then block completely. Block completely. Please, can you explain to her so that she can follow the instruction? Block completely. Now, I may not have this time, this opportunity again. So if you have an eye problem, maybe you are short-sighted, long-sighted, you use glasses to read, you use glasses to drive, just remove your glasses, lay your hand on your eyes. As I pray for these ears, it will affect your eyes too. As I pray for the ears. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, I arrest every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. Be bound in the name of Jesus. Blinding spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. Be bound in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of their ears in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of their eyes in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke. I destroy the covenant upon which you stand by the power that is in the blood of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I release the healing anointing upon them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. And I command those ears, ears, hear me. Hear in the name of Jesus. Eyes, see in the name of Jesus. Ears, hear in the name of Jesus. Eyes, see in the name of Jesus. Remove your hands from the eyes and the ears. Remove it. If you blocked this ear now, take the other hand, block the one that can hear. Block it completely. So those ushers that are close to them, can you help them run a test on the ears? The ones that can hear, put them aside. Run a test on the ears. The ones that can hear, put them aside. Those of you that touched your eyes so that prayers can be offered on your eyes, because I can see that two eyes are healed already. So check your eyes. If you notice that there is a healing on your eyes, come here. I can see that two eyes are healed. So you check diligently. Any of them can, none of them is hearing. Who can hear? Father, in the name of Jesus, all the people here that Satan has been attempting to manipulate, those whose names were taken to evil places to generate demonic energy against their lives, we stand against that program. We destroy it in the name of Jesus Christ. Those families that have been locked up, today I destroy that padlock. We release your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the hand of God rest upon you in Jesus' name. How many of you can hear? You can hear now. Did you hear that? Okay, she can hear. Can we celebrate Jesus? Can you hear? Have you tested it? You can hear. Have you tested yours? You can hear.